स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। संतराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौ प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। आगवेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Questions by Vidura. Today's text 43. Word meanings Nunam, of course, Nripanam, of the kings. Three. Mada Utpatanam, going astray out of false pride. Mahim, earth. Muhu, constantly. Chalyatam, agitating. Chamu bihi, by movement of soldiers. Vadhat, from the act of killing. Prapanna, surrendered. Arti jihirshaya, willing to relieve the distress of the sufferers. Ishaha, the Lord. Api, in spite of. Upaikshita, waited. Agham, offenses. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Kuru Nam, of the Kurus. Nunam Nirpanam Trimadupatanam. Mahim Muhus Chalayatam Chamubi. Vadha prapanna tijahirshayesho. Pyupaikshatagham Bhagavan Kuru Nam. Nunam Nirpanam Trimadotpatanam. Mahim Muhus Chalayatam Chamubi. Vadha prapanna tijahirshayesho. Yupaikshitagham Bhagavan Kuru Nam. Nunam Nripanam Trimadotpatanam. Mahim Muhus Chalayatam Chamubi. Vadha prapanna tijahirshayesho. Yupaikshitagham Bhagavan Kuru Nam.
Mahim
Translation, despite his being the Lord and being always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, he, Krishna, refrained from killing the Kurus, although they committed all sorts of sins, and although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements carried out under the dictation of three kinds of false pride. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As declared in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord appears in the mortal world to execute his much needed mission of killing the miscreants and giving protection to the suffering faithful. In spite of that mission, Lord Krishna tolerated the insult to Draupadi by the Kurus and the injustices perpetrated against the Pandavas, as well as insults to himself. The question may be raised, why did he tolerate such injustices and insults in his presence? Why did he not chastise the Kurus immediately? When Draupadi was insulted in the assembly by the Kurus, by their attempt to see her naked in the presence of all, the Lord protected Draupadi by supplying an unlimited length of clothing. But he did not chastise the insulting party immediately. This silence of the Lord did not mean, however, that he excused the offenses of the Kurus. There were many other kings on earth who had become very proud of three kinds of possessions: wealth, education, and followers. And they were constantly agitating the earth by movements of military strength. The Lord was just waiting to get them together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and kill them all at one time, just to make a shortcut of his killing mission. Godless kings or heads of state, when puffed up by advancement of material wealth, education, and increase of population, always make a show of military strength and give trouble to the innocent. When Lord Krishna was personally present, there were many such kings all over the world, and he thus arranged for the battle of Kurukshetra. In his manifestation of Vishvarupa, the Lord expressed his mission of killing as follows. So this is what Krishna said to Arjuna during the, in the 11th chapter, is when he was showing his Vishvarupa. I have willingly descended on the earth in my capacity of inexorable time in order to decrease the unwanted population. I shall finish all those who have assembled here except you, the Pandavas. This killing does not wait for you to take part in it. It is already arranged. All will be killed by me. If you want to become famous as the hero of the battlefield and thus enjoy the booty of war, Then, O Sabyasachi, just become the immediate cause of this killing and thus take the credit. I have already killed all the great warriors, Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata, Karna, and many other great generals. Do not worry. Fight the battle and be famous as a great hero. Bhagavad Gita 11:32-34. The Lord always wants to see his devotee as the hero of some episode which he himself performs. He wanted to see his devotee and friend Arjuna as the hero of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and thus he waited for all the miscreants of the world to assemble it. That and nothing else is the explanation of his waiting. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuram vilitamena tasmai shri gurave namaha narayanam namaskritya nam chaimavatnutamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam adhirayet. Despite his being the Lord and being always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, he, Krishna, refrained from killing the Kurus, although they committed all sorts of sins, and although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements carried out under the dictation of three kinds of false pride. Madhura has a long list of questions he's asking Uddhava. This one is not a question. Hopefully he's inserting his own comment or his own perspective at this point. Most important part of this purport, well, many interesting points. But the way Prabhupada, actually it's interesting that he says earlier that Krishna didn't kill them because he just wanted to bring them all together. That was the reason he didn't kill them earlier. All these miscreants like Duryodhana and others want to kill them all at once in one place. But then at the end, he says, he wanted to make Arjuna the hero, and that's the only reason he was waiting, because he wanted to make Arjuna the hero of the battle. So this is, we get hints throughout the Bhagavatam, and more directly, of course, in the 10th canto, of Krishna's love for his devotee. It's a very important theme for us to understand. People have so many doubts about God, they have doubts about whether God even exists. And then, of course, many people are antagonistic toward God, the idea of God. God is just making everyone suffer and so on. But we have the conviction, and it's revealed to us in our scriptures, or through Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru, Krishna's motivation is to serve his devotees. Krishna's the best of everything, and we're Krishna's servants, but actually, he's the best servant also. No one can serve better than God. And who does he serve? He serves his devotees. Really, he acts for the benefit of his devotees. We hear in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna comes to this world for these reasons which Prabhupada pointed out here. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Especially these two. Then dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna says, I come to kill the miscreants and to deliver the devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam, and to establish dharma. But Krishna can do that in different ways. He doesn't have to come. Even to protect his devotees, he can protect his devotees in different ways. His main motivation is the desire of the devotee. Whatever that desire is, he wants to fulfill that desire of his devotees. And the pure devotees, of course, they want everyone else to become a pure devotee of Krishna. They love Krishna. They want everyone else to love Krishna or realize that that's the person they should be loving. So they want Krishna to come and help everyone in that way, especially. He can kill the demons in so many ways very easily. Just with the blink of an eyelash, he can destroy so much. Actually, This exhibition on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where Krishna says, "Time I am, destroyer of the world," as Prabhupada was referring to, he made this quote here, Krishna is time. And, you know, we think, but people sometimes have this an objection that there's so much killing, you know, Vedic scriptures, there's so much killing. Your God does a lot of killing, right? But actually we say, actually he does all the killing. Not only on the battlefield, he's killing everyone. In fact, he's killing everyone moment by moment. Time is the great destroyer. Time is the Ishvara. Time is the controller. You may want to claim that you're God, and so many bogus gurus are trying to tell people that they're God. But you're not in control. You're certainly not in control. You're not in control of anything, actually. Day by day, you're dying. We're all dying. From the moment we're born, we're dying. That's our destination. That's where we're headed. That's, you know, we bought the ticket and that's where we're going. Our plane's going to crash eventually. So that's Krishna's doing. Shrishti Stiti Pralaya. He sets up the whole system. Of course, ultimately, we don't die, but we think we're dying. And death is according to the, you know, ordinary definition, when the body ceases to go on, be maintained, when it dissolves and turns to dust, or as we say, the stool of some animal, that's where it's going to end up, or the ashes. So Krishna's doing that. He's time. He can destroy very easily. So he can destroy all these kings. He really didn't have to come. There are many levels in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam closely, you'll find, well, just like here, Prabhupada kind of switches gears. He says, Krishna did it for this reason. Then at the end, he said, he only did it for this other reason, actually. So there are a lot of times where something is said, and then you can say, well, actually, if you look at it from a different perspective, you'll have a different understanding. And sometimes that can be confusing. You can say, wait a minute. And Prabhupada is so strong sometimes. He makes some statement so strong. Then you read some other place and you say, well, wait a minute, isn't he contradicting himself? No, there are different ways that you can look at things. Because one thing is that Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. So he has so many facets, or God, people have so many ideas of God, and even some, they're accurate, but only to some extent. Of course, we have the three big categories, Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan. Those are all God. They're all the absolute truth. They're all tattva. Tattva means the supreme absolute truth. They're the truth. They are the reality. But the reality is seen from different perspectives. So in so many things that Krishna does, we can see them from different perspectives, get different views and get different lessons from them also. We can learn different things. Even in Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada does this sometimes, you can say, you know, what Krishna says to Arjuna, he's making a direct statement. I was just listening to the course that the ISKCON has now on hermeneutics, how we understand Shastra. So they were analyzing the students in the course. I was listening especially a talk by Bhakti Vigyana Maharaj. So they were analyzing, one of the things they were analyzing was when Krishna says to Arjuna, now stand and fight. So it's kind of looking at that in different angles. So one of the principles we understand from Bhagavad Gita is that when Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, he's actually speaking to all of us. So then you take a statement like this and you read it and you say, now stand and fight. Am I supposed to stand up when I'm sitting in my chair reading the Bhagavad Gita and I read, now stand and fight? Oh, Krishna's talking to me. I need to stand up and start fighting with someone. So no, you understand, this has a, you know, there's a direct meaning and then there's a secondary meaning. So we take that, if we want to, we could of course apply it to Arjuna. He's telling Arjuna, you're in Maya, get up and fight, you're supposed to fight. That's your dharma, that's your duty, do your duty. So for us, we would say, well, that's, my dharma is not to fight, but I have so many aspects of dharma. My practice of Krishna consciousness involves so many things. And a temple president, for example, might say to someone, trying to get somebody to do something, a manager, say, Prabhu, stand and fight. In other words, get out of Maya, go, you know, wash the pots or whatever you're supposed to be doing. We would understand that in that context, even though he's speaking Krishna's words from Bhagavad Gita, we would understand what it means because we know the phrase and we know the context of when Krishna spoke it. It means do what you're supposed to do, right? Stand and fight. Don't be lazy, don't be ignorant, don't be neglectful, and so on. So there are different ways in we can look at things. In the Bhagavatam, or so many pastimes of Lord Krishna. Another nice example I like. I remember the first time I heard this lecture, Prabhupada, early 70s in London. Prabhupada was speaking on the first chapters of the Bhagavad Gita in London. And when he reads this, Senayor Ubayor Madhye Ratam Stapaya Me Chuta, Krishna says, or Arjuna says to Krishna, please put my chariot in between the two armies. So you think, well, he's asking to do some military thing. And you think, well, it's just, you know, this is just part of the narrative. There's really no significance to it. But Prabhupada saw great significance in it. Because he's saying, look, this is Arjuna. He's telling Krishna what to do. This is an indication, just like I was saying here, Krishna wants to make Arjuna the hero of the battle. So here's an example that Krishna is such a servant of his devotee, he's become his chariot driver. Now that's a secondary, that's like a chauffeur, right? That's not what the big guy is, not the chariot driver, the big guy is the fighter on the chariot. So Krishna is taking, in some sense, this lowly position. Why? Because he wants to serve, because of his love, ultimately, is what it comes down to. Because of his love for Arjuna and love for the Pandavas. And he's willing to do what Arjuna tells him to do. Take my chariot over here, take it over there, and so on. Following, acting as a servant of his devotee. So of course, and when he does that, he does it expertly. So Krishna has, of course, he has a long history with the Pandavas. And of course, the Mahabharata, we get a little hint of some, you know, scene from the Mahabharata in this purport today. Prabhupada's talking about Draupadi. So that the Mahabharata has a lot of very powerful scenes in it. This is especially one of them. When the Pandavas lost the gambling match, and they up to the point of where they lost their wife, Draupadi. Yudhishthira, he was in a very difficult position because the Kshatriya is supposed to accept challenges, and gambling is one of those challenges you're supposed to accept. And Shakuni was very expert at gambling, dice. I don't know how these dice work, base games work, but it seems like Shakuni had some kind of special power. He knew how to win with dice. So it was basically a foregone conclusion. Yudhishthira was going to lose. And there's always some cheating going on, too. But so much led up to this. Actually, I was thinking, I brought something here. You might find this interesting, kind of shifting gears here. And I came across a chronology. I'm always interested, well, how old was Krishna then when this happened? When exactly did this happen? Sometimes our acharyas in their purports, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sometimes he'll say, well, actually, in the 10th canto, this is a little out of order. This is actually the order. This is how these things took place. This is how it unfolded. So some devotee has researched, and apparently there are scholars who have researched through the Mahabharata how old Yudhishthira was when different things took place in the Mahabharata. Because it's in at least since there are many versions of the Mahabharata, but at least in some places, it says very directly when a lot of certain things happen, like when Arjuna was born, when Yudhishthira was born. It says, you know, what the paksha, this day of this paksha, according to the lunar calendar. And astronomically, it has been calculated, you know, when the Battle of Kurukshetra took place, and when, you know, many of these events that are described in the Mahabharata, they took place 5,000 plus years ago. So there's this chronology that someone has put together, about some of the Yudhishthira's life, basically. Yudhishthira, of course, he was the eldest of the five Pandavas. And, of course, he had an older brother, Karna, who was born 16 years. He's 16 years older than Yudhishthira. So Kunti, of course, she was a virgin girl when Karna was conceived by the sun god. And that was kept secret, of course. It wasn't revealed until later. Of course, that's another very moving scene of the Mahabharata, when Karna learns that he's the son of Kunti and the Pandavas are his brothers. Really intense drama, actually, in the Mahabharata. So Yudhishthira, there's a date here, actually. He was born roughly, actually what is the month? August 15th, 3229 BC. That was when Yudhishthira was born. And then the other Pandavas were born basically 1 year apart after that. Bhima was born the following year, Arjuna was born the following year, and then Nakula and Sahadeva the following year. One thing I always find interesting is that, of course, Krishna was born on Janmashtami, right? The eighth day of the waning moon of this month of Bhadra. So Krishna was born on Janmashtami, of course, and Arjuna was born on Gaur Purnima, actually. Phalgun, the month of Phalgun, on the Purnima, Phalgun Purnima, which we call, of course, now, it's Gaur Purnima, Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. So Arjuna was born, or Krishna appeared on Arjuna's appearance day so many years later. So then, I'll just read some of these things. Duryodhana was born 1 day after Bhima, and then, of course, he had 99 brothers. There's a whole story for that, the reason for that. And they were born, it says here, from that day onwards, every day, the rest of the 99 Kauravas and their sister were born. So it sounds like 1 day at a time. I'm not exactly sure how this is written. So when Yudhishthira was 16 years old, that's when Pandu died. The Pandavas, of course, they were living in the forest, and their father, Pandu, he received the curse, and as a result of that curse, he died. So Yudhishthira was the eldest at that time. Well, he was the eldest, and he was 16 years old. So then they were brought to, and they went to Hastinapur when he was, so they stayed another 13 years in the forest. So Yudhishthira was 29 years old when they went to Hastinapur. Of course, they were the rightful inheritors of the throne, but that, you know, there was a problem there. They came to reclaim it, but there were difficulties. So when they arrived in Hastinapur, that's when they studied the military arts. They learned from Dronacharya. They, alongside with the Kurus, learned the military arts from Dronacharya. They spent 13 years there. And then Yudhishthira, when he was 31 years old, he was made the crown prince. Crown prince means it's official, you're going to be the king. That's what it means to be the crown. So there's a ceremony that's just like Ram was supposed to be the crown prince. Then the day before, you know, the whole thing with Kaikeyi, and that didn't happen. So when Yudhishthira was 36 years old, let's see. So after he became crown prince, he was the crown prince for about 5 years. And then those of you know the story, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, especially Duryodhan, they're always thinking, you know, we want to rule the kingdom, we want to be the king and so on. So they said, listen, we want to send you on a little vacation, we have this nice house for you. So the Pandavas went, of course, you know, they went to the house, it was House of Lack or Shellac, and they thought they killed them, actually, in a fire. But they were able to escape that fire. Yudhishthira was 37 years old. At 38 years old, Ghatotkacha was born of Bhima's son. There are several things. I'm not going to mention all of these points. But So they stayed in hiding for a number of years after that House of Lack thing took place. That happened when Yudhishthira was 37. So they were gone for 8 years, actually, before they returned to Hastinapur. So then Yudhishthira was 45 years old. They stayed in Hastinapur for another 5.5 years. Indraprastha's city was built during that time. Then Yudhishthira was coronated. He was actually became the king when he was 46 years old. And then Arjuna went on pilgrimage when Yudhishthira was 58. So Arjuna was 56. There was, and there's a whole story behind that. It was during that time that he married Subhadra, and Abhimanyu was born. Okay, a couple of other things. Then the Pandavas entered the Maya Sabha. That's their city hall, their house. And so Yudhishthira was 60 then. So Yudhishthira ruled, it says he ruled in Indraprastha for 16 years. And then he had the Rajasuya sacrifice. So he was 76 years old when he had the Rajasuya sacrifice. So that means, of course, Krishna went there. Krishna is the same age as Arjuna, so he's 2 years younger than Yudhishthira. Approximately, actually, he's 6 months older than Arjuna. So the Pandavas ruled, actually, for 36 years in Hastinapur. And then the gambling match took place. So this mention of Draupadi, that took place. So Draupadi was... She was around the same age, apparently. She was, you know, she was married to the Pandavas, maybe a little bit younger than Arjuna and the Pandavas. So she was also in that range. She might have been 70 years old when this took place. Of course, we know these characters, well, especially Krishna, he never looked more than 16 years old, which makes you wonder about the other characters. Krishna looks 16 and Arjuna looks, you know, 60, I don't know. Arada, when she meets him. When all the residents of Vrindavan meet Krishna at Kurukshetra, are they all old, middle-aged, or are they still looking young, too? Of course, Krishna can do anything. He can make them all stay the same, looking the same when they meet him. But we don't read about that. At least I've never read anything about that. Anyway, so they were exiled for 12 years. So then the Pandavas, they came out, and then the Mahabharata war took place. Yudhishthira at that time was 91 years old, so Krishna was 89 at the Battle of Kurukshetra. That's when he spoke Bhagavad Gita. He was 89, still looking 16. That's so beautiful. We hear so much about Krishna's beauty. People are just astounded by Krishna's beauty. And then Yudhishthira ruled after the battle. Then they finally had fully secured their rule. Yudhishthira ruled for 36 years. That means that Krishna stayed on the planet. Krishna was living in Dwarka, of course, after the Battle of Kurukshetra, well, even before that. So Krishna stayed on the planet for 125 years. That's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, actually. Krishna, he left this world after 125 years. So Yudhishthira ruled until Krishna passed away. You know, in the Bhagavatam, we have the story, the Pandavas, that chapter, the Pandavas retired timely. So after Krishna left, then, of course, the Pandavas left. So then Parikshit Maharaj took over the throne. He was 36 years old at that time. He ruled for 60 years. And then he coronated his 25-year-old son, Janamejaya. So Parikshit, he died pretty young. Of course, he was cursed, but he ruled for 60 years. Actually, he was 96 years old when he died. I guess you can call that young, comparatively, the way things happened at that time. Anyway, so I just thought I would give a little overview of some story from the Pandavas, because this is all very much in the context. Krishna, the whole Mahabharata, of course, it all culminates in the Battle of Kurukshetra. That's the climax, really. And really, the real point of it is the Bhagavad Gita. You can say that the Mahabharata was written, this huge book, 100,000 verses. It was all written to, you might say, to trick people. Of course, the Krishna Leela is there. It's all Krishna's Leela and also the Leela of his devotees. But especially it's so people would read Bhagavad Gita, get this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And again, of course, they're hearing Krishna Leela, and they're hearing the story. They're hearing about the Pandavas, Krishna's devotees, so they're getting purified. And of course, that purification will also make them more receptive or able to understand what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna accomplishes many things whenever he does anything. That's why Prabhupada can say, well, he did it for this reason. And he can say, well, actually, he did it for this reason. So he had many reasons. He can do so many things simultaneously. Krishna has that power. He's not limited in any way. Okay, translation again. Despite his being the Lord and being always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, he, Krishna, refrained from killing the Kurus, although they committed all sorts of sins. And although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements carried out under the dictation of the three kinds of false pride. Any questions or comments? To Vikram Prabhu.
Just a few points. I like the point you made at the beginning. Krishna is actually the greater servant. You're very nice. Also, it's stated that many of those kings, if they were allowed to come into Kali Yuga, they would have created so much havoc. It was stated that Krishna had wanted them to die before Kali Yuga started also. I mean, of course, they had the other bad qualities, you know, because they were Kshatriyas, but they were like demonic in some ways, oppressive Kshatriyas. Mm-hmm. A real Kshatriya is not really oppressive, but they became so oppressive. And it was stated that had they moved into Kali, they would create havoc with people here. And another point I was thinking, it was stated, or a few place states that when Pandu died soon after the Pandavas were sent back to Hastinapur by the sages, you know, because they were young and unprotected, and especially Kunti, you know. So yeah, but like you, some way it stated they spent another 13 years before the Just some point, I mean.
I was wondering if you have the age when Pradyumna came back. When he was born, he was kidnapped or taken by, and then he came back. So I remember reading that Sanatana Goswami talks in Vaishnava Goswami that when Pradyumna returned, he was like, exactly like Krishna. So Mother Rukmini was thinking her husband is coming back. And Pradyumna was exactly 16 years old at that time, from moment he was kidnapped and his return. So I was wondering how old Krishna was at that time. That she mistake, but only where she detected, because she had a breast milk coming. But breast milk, not for husband, for child. So Pradyumna was her child, so it was natural. So that's where she had a dilemma. She thought Krishna is coming with another girl, because every time Krishna goes out, come back. So I wonder, like, how...
Sorry, my hearing isn't good. I don't know what the question is. Maybe it's going to have to take 5 minutes to ask the question again. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what the question is. Sorry. Maybe you can answer it. You can answer it, because you probably know the answer.
No, I was wondering, like, when Pradyumna was born...
Okay, Pradyumna was born, he went to Dwarka, and Rukmini was feeling, my husband has come back. Where was he? He's gone somewhere?
He went out, but every time he comes back to Dwarka...
Oh, okay, so she thought, he looks just like my husband. But then she, in the Bhagavatam, it says, she thought, well, if my son were alive, this is how old he would be right now. That's what it says in the Bhagavatam. So she was thinking, well, maybe this is my son. He looks just like Krishna. And this is how old he would be right now. So I'm not sure what the question is.
But how old was Krishna at that time?
Well, he always looks 16, so that's what Prajumna looks like. He looked like a 16-year-old. He looked like Krishna. Krishna looks 16 and Prajumna looks 16, so they look the same. They look like twins. Yeah. Reminded me of something, but now I forgot what it was. Yeah. Something incidental. All right, I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.